Coming up on this edition of RCN Sports Talk, we'll give insights and predictions on this weekend's PIAA football playoff action, highlights from Turkey Day and playoff games in both the Washington, D.C. and Pennsylvania regions, plus the latest tips on fantasy football and its regulation by the government. And would it actually be better for the Redskins or Eagles to not win their remaining games? These topics and more coming up on today's edition of RCN Sports Talk, brought to you by the Vinark Dealership, your Lehigh Valley Honda, Hyundai, Acura dealers.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk. So glad you could be with us. I'm Chris Michael. We'll be introducing our special panelists in studio in just a few minutes. Leading off the program, our special guest is Tom Braun from Fantasy Sharks Fantasy Football. Always good to talk some fantasy football with our good friend Tom. And welcome to the Sports Talk Show once again, Mr. Braun. How are you doing this evening?
Thank you, Mr. Michael. Great to be here, and thanks to all the folks at RCN are still playing fantasy football.
Yeah, well, it's always appreciate your strategies. And first of all, just a real quick line or two about Fantasy Sharks for people that have not caught you on our Sports Talk Show before and about the organization.
Sure, fantasysharks.com, great website. It is a free website if you're looking for fantasy football information. On a weekly basis, they have it all. They have your cheat sheets for lineups if you're doing a daily fantasy football or weekly fantasy football. And also, it toward the beginning of the season, if it comes around next to August and you're thinking about drafting your season-long team with your friends or online, they have a great representation of information for you to make your season-long drafts. And also there's daily things on there as well. If you're interested in games to watch, like what games would be great to watch on a certain weekend, they have things for just the regular fan, the regular football fan as well.
Right, Tom, before we get to the strategies and intricacies of different fantasy leagues, two of the names people have been hearing about almost ad nauseum because their commercials seem to be all over ESPN and Fox Sports and all the other sports channels out there, FanDuel and DraftKings. Could you tell us a little bit about those organizations?
Well, you know, a couple of years ago, no one really knew what daily or weekly fantasy football was. Yeah. Basically, what they do is they offer a weekly draft. You know, currently in season-long fantasy football, a heck of a lot of people are out of it, so they're not interested anymore. Mm-hmm. Thus, they turn their sights to FanDuel and DraftKings, and they can go on, and they don't necessarily have to bet money, but they can wager money there as well against thousands of other people or just a few people across the world. And they draft a one-week fantasy football roster and try and win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's something that's probably more popular now because, as you said, with people in the season-long polls, they could be out of it at this point. So that's something people could jump into here as we turn the calendar over to December.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot will, and they'll go right through the playoffs right up until the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. where you typically draft a nine-spot roster, a defense, a kicker, and some skill positions, and you try and draft the absolute best that you can going straight across the board to win. And like I said, you can play against 10 people, you can play against 10,000 people, you can play against 50,000 people. DraftKings and FanDuel offer both those type of things.
Do you hear any comments about one league is better than the other, or maybe some comments about one league that's not so good or something people should stay away from?
You know, the people who I've talked to who do it, and I myself have tried both of them, they get their preference. Basically, it is the same thing. You can find a certain things that are a little different about either of them. For example, like I said, you really draft a roster each week. People find themselves maybe finding more value on one site than another, as far as, like, if you're going to draft a quarterback, you have an arbitrary amount of money, like $60,000 to spend, and you have to get a quarterback for the week. Well, Tom Brady for this week on FanDuel might be $9,400. Andy Dalton might be $8,000. if you go over to DraftKings, if you're on FanDuel and you check that out, it might be a different different value system that they have, arbitrary money amount. So people kind of go with where they think they're getting the best value and can make their best lineup.
Yeah. As far as people that are still in the season-long fantasy leagues, is there any advice at this point, players or people that have teams that are staying in the hunt, or they're looking to tweak the roster a little bit to maybe make a move, but not a major shakeup to destroy everything that you've had going all season long so far?
You know, if they've gotten this far, they're doing something right, because they're still in the thick of it all. They probably aren't going to do too much to their teams. If you're looking for a sleeper-type player out there, you're taking a risk on, like, a running back who goes down for the season and having their handcuff, having their backup ready to go. If you're asking me for a sleeper or two that are out there,
Yeah. This
isn't really a sleeper because he's on someone's team, but, you know, a guy like Jeremy Maclin just woke up, a guy like Doug Baldwin had an extreme great week last week. Mm-hmm. Are they going to continue the rest of the season? You don't know. A lot of people going into this type of the season won't look at how great a player is as opposed to who the opponent of that player is this week, and they'll look for a player who might score big against it pains me to say it because I'm an Eagles fan, but if you have the Patriots, someone on the Patriots wide receivers this week, and they're depleted, but if you take a backup, they might be pretty good against the Eagles defense that is truly struggling right now.
Yeah, and you know more than a lot of people how much they are struggling right now.
In fact,
we were joking about Gronkowski, Brady. They may not play, and still the Eagles will probably still be underdogs heading into that game.
Well, they have to prove that they're ready to get back on the saddle there. They played good so far at points, but fantasy-wise, you'd be good to go against them right now.
Yeah. Our special guest is Tom Braun from Fantasy Sharks Fantasy Football League. I know you have some tips for beginners and people that are just hearing about this for the first time and
Sure. They're
kind of nervous about getting in or don't know a lot of the details, but could you take us through some of the tips and advice you have for people that want to get involved in fantasy football?
In fantasy football, we'll specifically talk about like daily fantasy football, because at this point you wouldn't get into a season-long thing. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go into a daily fantasy football, the first tip I'd say is, like you say, know what type of game you're entering. When you go to these sites, there are tournaments, there are head-to-head where you're playing just a few people or even just one person. You can actually play your friend. But know what type of game you're entering, because when you do that, if it's a type of tournament game where the top 25 people are winning big chunks of money, if you're going to wager, know that you're going to have to take some risks on some of those players that you're going to be drafting. If you are taking something where it's a 50-50 pool, what they do is, let's say 30,000 people, I know it sounds astounding, are going to play in a certain league for the weekend, the top 15,000 will win something. Again, if you bet a dollar, if it's a gambling thing, you might only win $2, but still, it's know what type of game you're getting into before you actually enter it. The next thing I would say to people is look for value over name. If you're going to draft something, just because the name says Aaron Rodgers, he might not be doing so well right now. If you're going to do that draft with the arbitrary dollar amount, look for a value player over a name. I mentioned earlier on FanDuel per se this week, Tom Brady would cost you in your $60,000 that you're spending on a team, $9,400 of it. Andy Dalton, on the other hand, he's only going to be $8,000. You could save money there to spend in another position on another player. Last thing I'd like to say is if you were going to enter one of these things, a tip to do is where to skimp and where not to. Typically, your quarterbacks and running backs, you're going to get what you pay for with that. But with your wide receivers, you're going to have to draft three wide receivers. You can take a risk on something like that. You know, take a player who's playing a bad defense, draft them. You're going to probably get them for a very good deal. And it might not be a name that you're familiar with or a headlining name out there, but they might fare fine for you. Same thing with a kicker, and you draft a defense or a tight end. There's not a whole lot of Rob Gronkowski's out there. Does it really matter what kicker you take? Because they might get 3 points. They might get, 12 points on any given week. That doesn't really matter. You stick to those three tips, you'll have a pretty safe team. Now, granted, the big argument right now, is this a game of skill or is this a game of chance? I don't know. It depends how you look at it. But if you were treating it like a game of skill, you stick to those three things, I think you'll be okay, Chris.
You know, before we let you go, Tom, since you mentioned game of chance, that has been one of the hot issues concerning fantasy football over the last couple months. Should government regulation be involved, and should it be regulated like gambling is? Any thoughts on the developments over the last several weeks?
Well, if you're asking me, I will tell you, the Attorney General of the state of New York certainly feels that it has to be regulated. Yeah. And let's say if it's something like that, you know, the state wants to regulate it. And in my opinion, of course, they want to get some money on that because it is something that could be taxed.
Sure.
But is it a game of skill? Is it a game of chance? In my personal opinion, if you're putting money out there and you're winning something, and you have zero control over it, I don't know. That's the argument. I would say it's definitely gambling, but do you have some control of it? I don't know. If we went to a blackjack table, do I have really control of what's going to happen? I don't know. That's tough for me to say. Personally, I guess I lean toward the fact that it is even though I enjoy doing it, it certainly sounds like it's a game of chance. But I'm not, who am I to judge that?
All right. Well, Tom, we appreciate your time. And we invite people to check out Fantasy Sharks for all the insights. It's a lot of fun to play when you get involved. And thanks for all your insights this football season.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Tom Braun from Fantasy Sharks Fantasy Football leading off the program tonight. Now we'll introduce our in-studio guests. And the man who runs EasternPAFootball.com, high school football expert extraordinaire, Mr. Dave Micah, and the co-host of the program, and the man who absolutely blew his top by the fact that I replayed all of his incorrect predictions on our previous edition of RCN Sports Talk, and I held him to a high standard to stick up to his predictions, even though he fled the country to avoid all the angry emails I got that following weekend, Mr. Joseph Linwood.
Yes,
gentlemen, how are you?
You have to be careful. You know, when you do these shows and I'm not around, I still have the ability to see them on
Absolutely.
VOD. And I want you to know
and I appreciate you leaving the country, leaving all the angry emails, especially the Eastern people who sent me video text messages.
Let me say this. I'm going to address that later in the show, that part of this. But let me just say this. What you and my friend Anthony did when I was away, and I'm talking about, of course, we know who Tony is. What you guys did would be like taking all the film clips of Mike Schmidt batting when he struck out and saying, man, this guy's a lousy hitter. Okay? That's what you guys did to me. I missed a couple, and they were big ones that week, and I'll address them later.
I will give you credit
but
for
I
predicting
also
Liberty
go,
beating Stroudsburg.
I also want to go on record as saying the other fellow on this show that night, Mike Joseph, a very good football guy, made the same predictions I did. I didn't see any ripping of him.
Mike Joseph's a wonderful person.
Anyway, it's good to be back, Chris. I want to tell you that.
Let's get to our tip-off question.
Yes,
we're going to continue the conversation briefly before getting to the high school football talk. Fantasy football. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of talk about regulation of it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are now playing fantasy football, especially a lot of young people. Dave, we'll start off with you. Should the government be involved in fantasy sports?
Well, I think it is gambling. I mean, there's money out there that mm-hmm. people are either winning or losing. You know, you could go bet on horses, you go to any casino. I think it is gambling.
Yeah. And do you think it should be regulated
then? Yeah, I do.
All right. Mr. Craig?
Well, it is gambling, I think. I don't play, but from what I know of it, it is gambling. But then again, you know, there's other kinds of gambling that go by the board that there's not a whole lot of regulation. Bingo comes to mind, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. Technically it is gambling, and I guess it's probably, although it's a criminal act to say the government should be involved in anything today, heaven forbid. But
don't get political on this show.
No, I'm not. But it is it's a form of gambling, and if that means it's got to be regulated to some degree, and I guess it does.
A whole new organization built just for fantasy
football. Yeah, it's crazy, you know. But maybe then again, you could treat it like bingo, you know, which there's very little government regulation. People still do. And how about lotteries? I mean, buy lottery tickets. What's more gambling than that?
True.
People do it all the time. So I don't know what's right.
All right. More national issues coming up a little later on in our roundtable segment. High school football, of course, front and center this week as we really get into high gear, some great matchups around the state of Pennsylvania. In fact, we're also going to have some D.C. Video recaps coming up in just a few minutes. But the big game in the eastern Pennsylvania region, I think, Parkland versus LaSalle. That's the marquee matchup, maybe across the state this weekend. Dave, we'll start your thoughts on Parkland, first of all, and then we'll talk about LaSalle in more detail.
Well, you know, I said it preseason that I thought that Parkland's the best quad A public school in eastern PA. And, you know, so far they've shown it. And, you know, I think the combination of Devontae Cross to Yeboah is one of the best pitch-catch combos in the state. And no one seems to stop that. And I think right now Parkland's playing their best football right now. They have a tremendous defense. What they did to go up to beat that Wyoming Valley West team and really shut them down was impressive. I truly believe that, you know, right now with Devontae Cross, the running of DeGeronimo in Yeboah, the wide receiver, and Nolan Ridgeway, another target for a wide receiver, even Zach Bross, another guy that has 26 catches, 254 yards. I just think their offense is clicking and their defense is clicking, and they're playing really at a high level right now.
Yeah, and you know what? You said you weren't surprised. I know a lot of Parkland people thought, oh, we're just going to go up there. It's going to be a typical year. District 11 goes up there and, you know, knock them around a little bit, win the ballgame. But you actually, I think, were giving more credit to Wyoming Valley West coming in than I think some people in the Lehigh Valley were.
Well, yeah. I mean, hey, they knocked off Nazareth. They beat Liberty. And you have to give them credit. At least District 2's actually been a little more competitive than, you know, our other District 11 teams in the mountains, you could say. And, you know, I truly think that District 2 every year is just getting better, better, and more competitive. And Wyoming Valley West showed it. They definitely were a really good quad A team up there.
Joe, we've had people on this show all football season long saying, well, Parkland's the best team, but, you know, I don't know, last week if they brought their A game or they matched the competition or whatever people have said. I think the last couple weeks they certainly have raised their game. And they've been playing the way a lot of people thought they would be playing early in the season.
Yeah, I think that's the big key with Parkland is that so many games they've started this year, they've started off not well. And then they've had to play well after the first quarter and come back, and then they blow by everybody, or have been, except for the Liberty game early. But the last 2 weeks, they've started strong. And they you can't start much stronger than they did against Wyoming Valley West last week. I would have to disagree about District 2 catching up. I'm not so sure of that. But to me, Wyoming Valley West beat two teams from the Lehigh Eastern Pennsylvania Conference that, you know, they were, what, ranked fourth, fifth in the league and gave up, what, 60-some points to combined to the two of them. So I'm not too sure that they've caught up to District 11 yet but or even close. And this was an exceptional Wyoming Valley. This was the best team coming out of there the last 4 or 5 years that I've seen it. So, I don't think it's still on the par with the best teams here. As far as Parkland's concerned, listen, the key to Parkland, they've got Devontae Cross. We know that. They got Kenny Yeboah. They've got Ridgeway. I mean, you go down up and down the line. Browse Hey, their defensive and offensive fronts are so solid that that's why they're so successful. You know, when their defensive line and linebackers are playing their game, hey, you're going to have a hard time. And if their offensive line is performing like they have most of the year, they're a hard team to beat. And and it's going to take a real solid effort by LaSalle this week to do that. I don't know if LaSalle is going to be able to match up front. The word we have is that LaSalle is a very physical, big front seven. And if that's the case, it'll be interesting to see it. Then it might come down to who has the best skilled guys. But because the front people may come to an even matchup. But it'll be interesting to watch. But I think the offensive and defensive fronts of Parkland have been the difference between them and everybody else, really.
Two thoughts about Parkland. I was hoping for Parkland's sake that they would get another crack at St. Joe's because, you know, we talked about what happened last year. I thought, boy,
with
they have another chance at St. Joe's.
With a different set of officials.
Oh, go there again.
Let's get that, let's
yeah, that's
get that
a big
out
question.
There.
Are there
right
going to be District 3
we'll
officials at this game on Saturday?
Yeah, we don't know.
But I was hoping they got a chance to avenge that loss last year. But I thought, and I watched the tape. I wasn't at Parkland live, so I saw it on video on demand. I saw against Wyoming Valley West clearly had a couple late hits, And Parkland not only took offense to that, they went out and they said, you are not going to push us around. You're not going to take any late hits with that. That intensity, can that work for them? Is that something they can build on into this ball game?
Well, that's a mistake Wyoming Valley West made.
Yeah.
They got them ticked off.
Yeah.
And when you get a team like Parkland with the kind of talent and size and strength that they have, when you get them motivated, you've got a problem. And that's what exactly what Wyoming Valley West did. You could tell right from the get-go, there was a lot of late hits, a lot of chippiness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's not think that Parkland was totally innocent here.
Mm-hmm.
They had their moments, too.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a lot of, I thought, late hits on the sideline hits that, that could have been called. And, you know, it you don't want to get a sleeping giant like Parkland angry, and then they play four quarters of good football instead of just three. And I think that that didn't help Wyoming Valley West.
And that's going to be the key to this game. They have to play four quarters.
Because
obviously, LaSalle, what I'm hearing is, you know, again, a very well-coached team. Line, offense, defense, big, physical. So that's where I think the game's going to be won, on the offensive and defensive line on both sides. And if you look at it, I mean, Parkland, you know, during the season was averaging, you know, 38 points. Right now they're averaging 42. And defensively, they were giving up 13 during the season. They're only giving up 10. And LaSalle, same thing. They were averaging like 28 points a game. They're now averaging 32, only giving up 16. But the thing is, LaSalle, their quarterback's going to try to manage the game. He's a kid that, you know, is going to throw the ball anywhere from 10 to 15 plays. Run the, you know, they're going to try to run the ball a lot with Madden. They want to eat up that clock, keep that Parkland offense off the field. And that's kind of going to be their game plan. And this is why, you know, I know the last 6 years, District 11 has been 0-6. And this is the week that, you know, we got to get over this week. And I truly believe it's going to happen.
Well, LaSalle, right, we're going to get back. We're going to continue the LaSalle Parkland talk. We're going to talk 4A football, 3A with Saucon Valley and Ceilings Grove, and then 2A and single A also coming up on tonight's program. We also have the trivia question out there. And after this break, I found a quote. You talk about bulletin board material. I saw a quote in the Philadelphia Inquirer, and I want to mention this. And I want to apologize in advance if I start ranting here, because it brought up an issue that I certainly am offended with. We're going to talk about that, the trivia, all coming up in just a moment. But right now, it is our chance to head down to the D.C. area and get a recap of some of their playoff action that was played on the Thanksgiving Day holiday.
This is a DKN Sports Playoff Special. The DCIAA football playoffs kicked off with the Roosevelt Rough Riders challenging the defending division champions, the Eastern Ramblers. After halftime, up 21-6, the Ramblers literally run away with the game as number 7 Jerome Johnson takes it himself for a 58-yard touchdown run. In our second game, the Bell Griffins matched up against the McKinley Tech Trainers. Bell flexes its muscle early as number 1 Charles Brooks takes it up the middle on his way to a 45-yard touchdown. Bell dominates 50-16. In the Stars division, the HD Woodson Warriors matched up against the Dunbar Crimson Tide. Late in the first quarter, QB Khalil Wright tosses a 15-yard fade pass to number 1 Charles Peeler, who makes a big boy catch. Woodson takes it 27-7. In our second Stars division matchup, the division-leading one-loss Wilson Tigers face the Ballou Knights. Late in the fourth quarter, Wilson takes the lead as QB Stephen Williams Jr. tosses a 17-yard floater to number 2 Sean Savoy for a touchdown. Tigers win 37-34. This has been your DKN Playoff Special.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our special in-studio guest, Dave Mike from EasternPAFootball.com, joining Joe Craig and myself, talking largely about high school football. We're going to get to some regional and national topics coming up in just a few minutes as well. But right now it is time for the trivia question here on RCN Sports Talk. And tonight's question deals with the NFL. And we're looking for two NFL teams that hold the record for fewest wins to make the playoffs during the Super Bowl years. Now, there's a lot of talk about the NFC East, or some have referred to it the NFC least, so far this year. But who holds the record? There's two teams that have identical win totals. So which team has the record for the fewest wins in order to qualify for the playoffs during the Super Bowl years? Here's more information on how and what you can win.
could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
And that question again, what two NFL teams hold the record for fewest wins to make the playoffs during the Super Bowl years? We do not have the ability to read emails here tonight. When my laptop is not here, we can't take tweets, we can't take emails, because Joe was so upset that I played all of his incorrect predictions. He took my laptop and threw it out the window. So people, the tech people in the back are trying to get it fixed, but we cannot take emails during the show tonight here.
You know there's people out there that believe
people can email us, though. I can read them after the show back in my office. And people watching us on video. I'm tired of this image you're trying to create, that you're this nice guy and you just come in here and float around, just do whatever you're told. And there's a much greater image behind the truth behind the image is just the story has to be told.
People who know me really know the story.
They're the ones who tell me that you're really
right. Okay.
All right. There's a quote I saw here. This is from LaSalle's star running back, Zaire Madden, great talent, in the Philadelphia Inquirer earlier this week. He says, when I was in eighth grade, LaSalle was one of the schools I considered. It has a strong sports program and is highly regarded school as far as academics go. And I apologize for thinking this, but I'm sitting there, and eighth grader's thinking, where should I go to school? What school would be? And at the same time, I'm thinking, there's no one on Parkland, there's no one in Saucon Valley, there's no kid you're going to hear a soundbite or a quote in a paper saying, you know, I was choosing between Liberty and Easton and Whitehall, and Parkland had a really good geology program, so that's where I went. Oh, by the way, they're a star football program. Dave, I know I'm wrong about this, but Madden, he's rushed for over 1,100 yards. He just so happens to be a great running back on a team that is perennially in the state playoffs, deep in the state playoffs most years. Dave, forgive me. I know you want to defend LaSalle here, so go right
ahead. Well, I'm not going to defend them, but I agree that they are a very good academic school, and a lot of kids do go there for academics. So I'll say it for... Go ahead.
Joe was about to strangle Dave, by the way. We're on a solo shot.
You think we were talking about Harvard and Yale here. Please.
Do you want to say something here?
Yeah, I think that the problem is not LaSalle's or St. Joe's Prep or Imhotep or any of them. They're good schools, I'm sure, and they're playing by the rules. So I'm not angry at them. But the system stinks.
You see,
period. And there's no other way to say it.
You got to bring up the parents, too. I mean, you look at the kid from...
I just have a problem with an eighth grader just sitting there thinking, yeah, I was considering which school to go to.
Well,
Desmond Peoples, for example, 3 years in a row, he was at a public school, went to, I think it was LaSalle, it might have been, and then ended up at St. Joe's Prep. So the kid went to three different schools and...
And don't think that doesn't happen around here.
Oh, no, I know.
Doesn't happen. You don't think there aren't some kids that go to certain schools around here that don't weigh their, who's got the better quarterback situation? Who's got the better this, that? It happens. It's the system is what I am opposed to, not the schools. Hey, they're doing what they have to do. And some of these schools need these kids to survive. I understand that. And they're playing within the rules because apparently the rules allow you to do these things.
All right.
It's the system.
You wanted
wrong.
To make one more
yes,
comment
I do.
Before we move
LaSalle,
on talking about other teams in the playoffs.
I wanted to mention about LaSalle. You know, they have that great running back in Zaire Madden, who is a lot of good things.
Yeah.
But they have what makes that team so dangerous is they've got four receivers. They've got a kid by Nick Ranella, who's a running back who they throw the ball to a lot.
Yep.
And then they've got Troy Holland, Charles Hedden, and Winston Eubanks, three wide receivers that catch a lot of balls. So you can't load up on that running game with this team because they've got four kids that can come out of the backfield or out of the wide out receiver positions and catch the football. So that's what makes LaSalle so dangerous at that end. You can't really load up versus the run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you.
And they're all big guys. Three of them are big guys. Running back's only 6 foot.
All right, the team that LaSalle and Parkland, the winner, would play would be North Penn and Upper Dublin. I know you have a lot of contacts Upper around Dublin's the state. Good. So your thoughts on that matchup and some of the other 4A contests going on?
Yeah, I mean, North Penn, they're going to run with the kid West. He's been their three-year starter. They have a big line. It's going to be a typical North Penn team. Big line, run the ball, control the clock.
Beat you up.
Upper Dublin, this is a team that, I've had preseason in our rankings from day one. The only concern I have with Upper Dublin is their defensive line is a little undersized. And going up against a big physical team like North Penn, how are they going to do against that? So we'll see how it comes out. But Stover, who's the coach's son, tremendous quarterback, could throw, could run.
Can they throw? Can North Penn throw the ball?
North Penn can throw the ball, but not as much as what Upper Dublin will. Yeah. So it's going to be a real classic matchup of, maybe a little undersized defense
But Upper Dublin with an undersized defense, if they don't have to worry too much about the passing game, even though you're smaller, you can do things to disrupt a big physical running game with smaller guys, using linebackers, strong safeties, playing X games up front. So that's why I asked if they throw the ball.
Yeah.
If North Penn can throw the ball, then you lay back a little from all of that kind of stuff, which makes it tougher.
All right. Apparently, when Joe threw out my laptop in frustration, he's also thrown out our phone screeners a laptop because I have no idea who's on the line. So let's go to the phone lines and welcome in a caller. I'm not sure which one to talk about, but go ahead. Welcome. You're on RCN Sports Talk this evening.
Hello?
Hi. Yes. Your name, please.
Hi.
Yeah, who do we have?
Brandon.
Okay. Brandon, where are you calling from?
Easton.
Easton. Very good. Glad you could chime in this evening. What would you like to talk about?
I was going to have the answer to the trivia question.
All right. Fire. We need two teams.
All right. Is it the Panthers and the Seahawks?
Good guess, but incorrect.
All right.
Very good try, Brian. Well,
thanks for chiming in,
thanks
Brian.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Brandon.
Right, thanks.
Brandon, I'm sorry, buddy.
Don't offend the Easton people any more than you did when you said they were going to get blown out by Freedom.
I'm going to address that later.
You know, with technology.
I didn't say they were going to get blown out.
You know, with technology, and I want to show you this after the show because you were ducking
me
before
I
the show.
I said they were going to get blown
out. I wasn't
out.
Here.
People did. And this happened. Two people did this.
What's that?
They have the RCN TiVo now, so you can rewind and stop and go back. So what two people did, they took your predictions.
Here we go.
They got their phones out, they rewound it, and then recorded it and sent it to me and said, what does Joe think now? Uh-huh. So I'm going to show you those things. So don't upset Easton people anymore.
Okay.
3A.
I'm going to talk about that later. Go ahead.
Let's start with Saucon Valley. They just continue to be a motor. Evan Culver just continues to set new school record after school record. The defense, though, I think continues to get underrated a little bit. They are just phenomenal defensively. So we'll start with Saucon Valley. Joe and Dave, your thoughts on the Panthers, their success so far.
Well, for me is their quarterback. He's a guy that, can throw and also run.
Yeah.
And I saw him twice during the regular season. What impressed me, especially like in the Notre Dame game, he made the throw at the end to, lift them to that win.
Yeah.
And, I like his game because, like I said, he's a 1,000-yard passer, 1,000-yard rusher. So he has balance to go with Culver. So you never know if he's going to run or throw. When you look at the other side with Selinsgrove, their quarterback's more of a passer. He doesn't really run that much. Mm-hmm. So you know what you're getting with him. So that's where I think that is going to be a real big key in that game, is going to be the balance of Saucon Valley's quarterback versus the throwing, more throwing of Selinsgrove's quarterback.
Well, and I think Saucon Valley, Thatcher, he reads the field really well.
He does.
Sees things really well. But he's got a tight end, this Mike Kane, who has a lot of ability, and a wide receiver, Nate Harka. He's got a couple receivers, including Culver, who come out of the backfield.
Yeah.
That, I think, is what separates them a little bit from everybody else. But I want to talk about their defense, Chris. I think you're right. When you look at Chris Carvis, Zerinsky, Myers, plus Culver and Thatcher and company.
Yeah. They love to play defense, too, though.
Yeah, a lot of those guys go both ways, and they have a really good defensive football team. But they're going to face a good team.
Sealands Grove, we got to talk a little bit, and I know you got some stuff on Sealands Grove, Dave. So I know they've got Javon Batts, this running back, who, who's they tell me is very similar to
almost
Culver,
1,800 yards rushing.
He's more of a bowling ball type. I don't know the whole story, but tell us a little bit about them.
Yeah, I mean, he's a kid that, you know, 1,800 yards, over 20-some touchdowns. And this is a kid that actually, I think it was either last year or the year before, they discovered he had a heart murmur, and he had to sit out the rest of his season, and he didn't know if he was ever going to play football again. So this is a kid that's coming back from that, 1,800 yards, 22 touchdowns. Yeah. But what's impressive is their quarterback. You know, this is a guy that's thrown for over 1,800 yards, 22 touchdowns. But they have really solid wide receivers. They have four guys that have 10 catches or more. Yeah. And probably their top guy is that Nick Swineford. You know, 35 catches, 600 yards, 6 touchdowns. They also have Colin Hoke, who has 44 catches, 598 yards, 8 touchdowns. So with them, their passing attack, he really has 4 targets to throw to. So that's another key to that game is how well is Saucon Valley's defense, especially their secondary, going to match up with these 4 wide receivers when Sealands Grove's probably going to spread the ball out.
Well, the other thing, Sealands Grove, you have to talk a little bit about their defense. They're a good defensive football team.
They
got some kids. This Ethan Troutman, he's a defensive back. He leads them in tackles and interceptions. He's supposed to be exceptional. They got an inside linebacker by the name of Jack Gogler, who's real good. He's probably going to be an all-state player.
Yep.
And this Jacob Strickler, another defensive lineman, defensive end, who I think he's got like, 35, 40 tackles on the year. So, I mean, they've got a pretty good solid defensive team, too. They're going to give Saucon a lot of trouble. But, boy, I'll tell you what, Saucon just got so many weapons that you don't realize. All you think of is Culver and then maybe Thatcher. But, boy, they get Harkin and a couple other guys going, and you can have some problems. Should be a good, really good game.
And this is a program, too, that, you know, hey, they won a state title not too long ago.
Yeah, 3 years.
So, you know, this is going to be a great matchup because, honestly, these two teams just really mirror each other. And, you know, like I said, it may come down to turnovers, special teams.
It may,
All right, we still have that trivia question out there looking for two teams. You have to identify both correctly. Which two NFL teams hold the record for fewest wins to qualify for the playoffs during the Super Bowl years? Again, if you're watching us live, you have to call. We can't take emails today just because Joe can't control his anger. we're going to talk about 2A teams and single A teams and also the roundtable with the regional and national conversations also coming up in just a moment. But right now, as we close out our segment two, we go with thumbs up, thumbs down, where we identify someone in the world of sports for doing something extraordinarily well or somebody who didn't do something too appropriate or good at all. I'm going to give a thumbs up to, and I'm not going to politics here, but I'm going to go to Easton Mayor Sal Panto. He's out there in the community, supports a lot of great sporting events, but also if you follow him on Facebook, he has some wonderful comments. And I'm not talking political, just basic common sense opinions. He's a great supporter here in the Lehigh Valley of sports, but my thumbs up to Easton Mayor Sal Panto. Joe.
My thumbs down is to Joe Craig, because I really called a couple real stinkers at the last time I was here before.
Wait.
Let me finish.
You're
now, don't interrupt
me. Raw. This is the first time in 11 years.
Well, due to the fact that I was ripped by you and another guy on the radio when I wasn't here. But I got to tell you that I picked Freedom to beat Easton. I thought it was a sound pick. Freedom had just beaten them, and they were pretty evenly matched teams. But playing in Bethlehem, I thought it was a good pick. And the other one was I didn't think Saucon Valley could hold up to Becca's speed. I was wrong. I want to be a note that I will take credit for being wrong, and I apologize for that. And I don't know anybody who's ever been always right.
That's what you're
saying. I was wrong, and I give me a thumbs down because of that. I apologize.
I can retire now. He's finally admitted he's wrong.
To my Eastern
friends. All right, we're ready for the break.
And no, I'm not done yet. And my Saucon Valley friends. I apologize.
You don't have any more.
My thumbs up is the quarterback from Council Rock North, Brandon McElwain, was just named Gatorade Pennsylvania Player of the Year. Kid had 49 total touchdowns this year.
All right, more RCN Sports Talk right after we take this timeout.
To have an impact on our show. If you're watching us during our live Thursday show airing, you can call us from anywhere free of charge by dialing 1-844-234-4488. Send us your comments, questions, and opinions or ideas for future shows right now. or at any time by emailing us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we might just read and respond to your comments on tonight's show or on a future episode. You can also get even more sports conversations, videos, sports highlights, and commentaries by checking out our sports blog at rcn.com/rcntv. Feel free to bookmark our blogs and check back often for updates. And stay tuned. More of tonight's RCN Sports Talk is coming your way in just a moment.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Our in-studio guest, Dave Mica from EasternPAFootball.com. I have no idea who's sitting directly to my right because Joe Craig, for the first time in 11
You're
years,
glad
of doing
I'm
the show,
back because
admitted
I'm
he made a mistake.
You.
The show ran so much smoother when you weren't here last week. We can't take emails because of Joe's frustrations. He sabotaged two computers that we know of, and now we have a whiteboard that's running out of ink. So let's go right to the phone lines here. We have Kyle from Hellertown. Wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Kyle, welcome to RCN Sports Talk this evening.
Hey, guys. How we doing here?
Doing good,
okay,
Kyle.
How are you?
Hey, good. Hey, this is Kyle. I'm actually the deer coach.
Oh, yeah. Okay. How you doing?
Hey, good. How you guys been?
Got a guest for us.
Enjoy watching you guys always.
Thank you.
We appreciate you checking in and watching
us. Here's my guest coming right from my son. He came downstairs. He says it's the Patriots and the Seahawks.
Ooh.
Good guess.
That's a good guess, but not there.
You didn't get it, buddy.
That's rude, Joe. What a buzzer.
Well, that's a buzzer sound. How you doing otherwise?
You enjoying the offseason?
Hey, we're doing good. About to get ready for the offseason. I'm going to be rooting for the District 11 teams this weekend, hopefully.
Yeah.
They both have good games and move on.
Yeah. Isn't that great that everyone seems to get behind the teams once we get to this time of year, everyone in the Valley?
Yeah, we all got to root for them. Well,
absolutely. I always want to see District 11 teams do well.
Well, you got to start getting ready for next year now.
Yeah.
Time to get in the weight room, get them going.
I know. It's a 12-month-a-year deal, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right, buddy.
Kyle, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck this offseason. Have a great holiday coming up.
Take care, Kyle. Have a good one.
All right, so we still have that trivia question out there. What two NFL teams hold the record for fewest wins to make the playoffs during the Super Bowl years? Ever since the Super Bowl has been around, which two teams hold the record for fewest wins to make the playoffs?
You can't take any responses on the internet at all,
not live during our show. Thanks to you.
People
can email us.
So
we'll get to that in just a bit.
People can email you, okay.
People can email us. They just can't read it during the program.
So we can't give the answer tonight, which I'd like to do.
I should sue you for breaking all this equipment around here, by the way. Dunmore. You know, last week, Dave and I and a lot of people from the Lehigh Valley, we got together, Notre Dame, we thought, oh, they're the favorite. All they have to do is stop the run. They stop the run, they're going to win the game and move on. Notre Dame had a great season. Yeah. But all they had to do was stop the run, and they'll move on. Guess what? They couldn't stop the run.
But
and
Chris,
that Dunmore team was very impressive.
Chris, they've had a problem with that all year. The people have scored points on Notre Dame all year. Don't get me wrong, they're a very good football
team. But
their
strength was their linebackers, Dunmore take their linebackers
out
of the game.
But if you looked at their comparative scores, there were a lot of games where they gave up 2, 3, 4 touchdowns. But they scored so many points. The difference this time was Dunmore not only could score, but they also played pretty good defense, and they did a pretty good job, I thought, on Notre Dame's offensive line. They really controlled the line of scrimmage.
They really did.
And that was the difference. But Garrett Murray, number 30 for Dunmore, I mean, he's a stud. And he showed it in this game. He really would. And he was a lot quicker than I thought he would be. He had a lot of good speed. Very impressed with him.
Dave, your thoughts on Dunmore and the other 2A teams still alive in the state playoffs?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's no secret what they're going to do. They're going to hand off to their two talented running backs, Murray and Colin Holmes, and basically run north-south. I mean, they're going to run behind that big line. And what's nice is Murray can bounce out and run east-west. And, you know, again, if you're not a good tackling team, they're going to run all day. So in this game, obviously West Catholic has a lot more team speed. They have some tremendous athletes, Craig Jones,
big.
Worthman, two guys who will do it on offense and defense. So it's going to be a classic match that can Dunmore wear them down and score because they're going to have to play a perfect game
like
to beat West Catholic.
I'd like to see that game. West Catholic's a really good football
team. They are a very good football. And you can't go by their record because they play tremendous teams. Yeah, they lost to a very good Interact team and some of the better teams down there. So, you know, like I said, this game really is going to be in the trenches. Who could stop who's running?
Who's going to stop who?
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Jerry in Northampton wants to take a shot at our trivia question. Jerry, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
How are you doing tonight?
Good, Jerry. How are you?
Good.
So glad you could join us this evening. What's your guess for the trivia?
The Browns and the Lions.
Very good.
You got it.
Good job there.
Now, Jerry, you know that this kind of was a trick question.
Yes.
Right? Those two teams, why did they only have four wins? Tell the people why.
I believe that was the strike season back in 82.
You right. got it. It was you a strike year when they only played, what, 7-8 games. So
yeah.
That was the reason.
Then they played nine because they were both four and five, the Browns and the Lions.
Yeah.
Yep. So good job.
Thank you.
All right. We'll get to you right after the show with your prize information.
And who won the Super Bowl that year?
Okay, thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jerry.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Real quick, before we close out shop for this segment, the single A, Dave pointed out a great point. Camp Hill and Bishop Guilfoyle is really the key matchup in the single A this weekend, because if Camp Hill wins, we won't have any team looking to defend its championship at the state level. So your thoughts on the single A teams?
Well, you know, you talk about that game. It's the classic great defense. Bishop Guilfoyle out of District 6 has the best Class A defense in the state, just like last year, and they're going to go up against the best offensive team in Class A in the, you know, in the East. Mm-hmm. And they're led by Michael Schuster, their star quarterback. This kid is, I think, third now in all-time passing, over 9,000 yards passing. He's a Michigan commit. One of his big targets is 6'7" sophomore Zach Coons, a kid that when they're inside the 20, he throws it up at that 7-foot mark.
Ball, yeah.
And Billy Willems is now healthy. I mean, this kid's probably a 1AA type running back, you know, 1,800-yard runner. So they have a lot of weapons that could go against this Bishop Guilfoyle. So this, honestly, I think whoever wins this game is going to go to Hershey.
Well, Bishop Guilfoyle must not be bad offensively. He scored 50 points last week. Against Moshannon Valley, I mean.
They are very good.
They must have a pretty good offensive football team.
Well, they have their quarterback back from last year. And, you know, they're a pretty good team.
All right, we have the roundtable, a mix of regional and national topics coming up after this timeout. But a quick reminder, big event coming up here on RCN this Monday. RCN, a proud sponsor of the local nonprofit organization, the Dream Come True Organization. Celebrate the 30th anniversary of the Dream Come True Telethon on Monday, December 7th on RCN TV. Your support will help enrich the lives of children within the Lehigh Valley who are seriously, chronically, or terminally ill by giving them a chance to hope, dream, and live their fantasies. Don't miss the online auction available now. That will help raise money for the Dream Come True organization. It's your way to bid on a variety of unique items donated by local popular television networks and local businesses. So check that out on our website, rcn.com/rcntv. You can bid on the auction items now and tune in to the Dream Come True Telethon on Monday, December 7th, starting at 6 p.m. live here on RCN TV. Final segment of RCN Sports Talk is straight ahead.
You are listening to the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, and we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. You can also send us possible show topics and future guest suggestions by emailing chris.michael@rcn.net. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. That number again, 1-844-234-4488. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast. We'll be right back.
listening to the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast.
Welcome back to the final segment of RCN Sports Talk. Dave Micah from EasternPAFootball.com, our special in-studio guest. Special thanks to Tom Braun from Fantasy Sharks Football League for joining us early in the program with some strategies. If you missed it, you can catch the show on video on demand on replay or our podcast on the RCN TV website. Let's jump right to our roundtable topics. Topic number one, Redskins and Eagles. And Joe, don't blow another gasket here, Joe. Seriously, because we talked about this last year. The Eagles could not qualify for the playoffs. They should have put Matt Barkley in. Lost the game, gotten a better draft pick, maybe even got Marcus Mariota, but they played to win. But, in reflection here, Redskins, Eagles, wouldn't they be better to just lose out here? Not that the Eagles will have much choice against the Patriots this weekend, but seriously, wouldn't they be better to just play out here, get a higher draft pick, and play to next year? You're looking at me strange, Joe, so I'm going to start with Dave. And you're a Redskins fan here, too.
I am a Redskins fan, and... yeah, if they win this division, it's really not going to make them better.
No, they're going to be eliminated right away.
Yeah.
So, and Redskins, I think, are in a different situation because they're trying to build for the future, whereas the Eagles are just in chaotic mode right now.
And the thing is, they're trying to fill out the quarterback and see, is he going to be the guy moving forward? So we'll find out.
All right, so you think Redskins should go all in? Eagles maybe not.
Yeah, I would say.
Joe, are you going to answer this question?
They should lose out, and it's a different situation from last year. The Eagles last year at this time were 8-3 or 7-4. This is a different football
team. But that
last
game,
It didn't matter that last game. This stage of the game, lose out because you're not going anywhere this year anyway. Get a high draft pick as you can because you don't have a second-round draft pick thanks to some stupid wheeling and dealing.
Yeah, your good friend, Chip Kelly. Topic number two, Kobe Bryant had his last professional game in Philadelphia. He's retiring at the end of the season from Lower Merion. Where do you rank Kobe all time? We only got about 50 seconds left. And when you rank him, better than blank, but not as good as blank. Dave?
I would say he's in that 5 to 10 range. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's, you know, with Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird and them, but I would put him down 5-10 area.
5-10. And Joe?
I think he's around 5. I would rank Wilt and Jordan as the top two without question. Then you got Bird and Magic, and I think this kid's right with those, maybe a little step below them,
right,
but very close.
My thanks to Dave Micah for being here and all of his high school basketball insights. Catch all the high school action on RCN this weekend. Next week will be our final show of the 2015 calendar year. Darren Hilliard will be here, a former Liberty basketball player. He's now playing for the Pistons. They're playing the Sixers the next night. So Darren will be here along with Nick Fierro to talk Redskins, Eagles, and NFL talk. For everyone at RCN, I'm Chris Michael. Good night, everyone.